Good morning again.
Good morning.
Are you with me today?
Yes.
Yes, okay. All right. I can understand Pastor's predicament today of driving, and we just came from Columbus, Ohio yesterday morning, so wow. I heard wow somewhere around there. Yeah, we came from Columbus. We were at family camp this past week too in Ohio, where my wife grew up and went to camp and had a good time there hearing the preaching. 9 messages in 5 days. 1 in the morning, 1 at night. And it was good for us to be there and to be refreshed with and be have relationships renewed and more relationships coming. And it was good for us to be there. It was good for us to be there. I went to Pensacola Christian College down in Pensacola, Florida. And I remember being in college. Am I on, by the way? You hear me okay? Button's on, so you guys not hearing me? I remember going to a game at Pensacola Christian College, and going to that game, I was up in the bleachers, and you know how it is when you play a game. When you watch a game on TV, some of you are backseat coaches, right? You hear, you're saying bad shot or air ball or, you know, bad pass. Well, I was watching the game for a while and decided I had to go back to the dorm room and do some study or reading or whatever I had to do that day. And when I came down from the bleachers, my whole perspective of the game changed for me. I was now not a spectator, but I was almost like a player on the court of the game. I could see that shot that we said was a bad shot or air ball was just shot off enough to miss the basket. I could see that the pass that we said was a bad pass was just off enough that it didn't get to the player intended to go to. You know, and sometimes I think that we as churches say to ourselves as we are gathered in the building that we are not missionaries. We can't do the job of a missionary. We can't go out and tell people about Christ because that's not our responsibility or that's not my strength. Well, I want to tell you today that you still, excuse me for saying it this way, you can still be a player in the game of missions. And I'm going to speak to you today on a message I entitled, Be a Prayer Player. Be a prayer player. We all can pray. We all can do that aspect of missions for those that we support and even our pastors in our churches. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look together at several passages. I have several prayer requests today, but we may not get to them all. But we will go as far as we can this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here at Tabernacle Baptist Church here in Williamsport and to share with these dear friends the Word of God this morning. Pray, Lord, that as we open up your Word, that your Spirit would be in our midst, and we know that you already are. Your Spirit would be touching hearts this morning. Our hearts this morning would be good soil hearts where the seed of the Word is sown. It would go on our heart and we would accept it and receive it and apply it and do it. Father, we need your work and your help this morning in this church. May your word go forth to good soil hearts. In your name, amen. Look with me, if you would. Before we get to the prayer, I want to speak a little bit this morning from Luke chapter 24. And I want to ask a question this morning. What is a missionary? You may say, well, that's pretty simple. Well, here's some definitions that I found online as I was going through this message this morning. What is a missionary? Well, I found this definition, a one who is sent to spread a message. Pretty generic in my term, my theology of a missionary. It's not just going to spread a message. Well, here's another one I found, a person sent to a place to spread a religious faith. Well, as believers in the Word of God, we don't have a religion. We have a relationship. So I don't go with that one either. Okay, that one's not my cup of tea. So as I thought about these definitions, I came up with one. And here's my definition of a missionary. One who is giving God's message of salvation to people and helping them grow in Him. And as I thought about that, I came to Matthew, we don't have to go there, I came to Matthew 28, where Jesus said in Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach there means to bring them into the family of God. Give the gospel out and help them come to the family of God as His child. Then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's taking them from, bringing them from the family of God and bringing them into the church family. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's discipling them. That's helping them grow in Christ. Teaching them the things that have helped you. Teaching them the same thing. So by that definition, are you a missionary? Are you one that is giving God's message of salvation to people and helping them grow in Him? Well, by God's book, by God's word, yes, you are a missionary. And you are to give out that message. So what is the message of a missionary then? What is the message of a missionary? Well, Luke chapter 24, if you would. Luke chapter 24, and please look with me at verse 46 and 47. Jesus is here preaching. He just rose again from the dead. He is now speaking to the 11 disciples here. And he says in verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Back to verse 46, it says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ. Now, I'm not going to attempt this morning to give you the Greek words of these. I'm not going to try to do that. I will mess those words up. But I'm going to give you the meaning. The word behooved means it was necessary. It was needful. So Christ is saying, it was necessary for me to die. It was needful for me to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Because he was the only one that could die and take away the sins of the world. Amen. We cannot do that. I could die in the place of my son and I could not give him salvation. I could not give him eternal life because I died for him, but Christ could. So it was necessary that Christ died. Verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Repentance is simply sorrow for sin and forsaking it. Realizing that you have sinned against God in your life. Turning your back on that sin and following God and his word. And not turning back on that sin again. It says in that repentance and remission. Remission really is the destruction of the power, the pardoning of the guilt, and a purification of the heart from the very nature of sin. So you are... You repent, you are pardoned, and now you are a witness. So that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. By who? By you. You see what Jesus says here? Beginning at Jerusalem. Now think about that for just a minute. Then we're going to go into the prayer request. What happened in Jerusalem? What happened in Jerusalem? Jesus came and was tried in Jerusalem. He had the crown of thorns put upon his head in Jerusalem. He was tied to a pole and was whipped many times over in Jerusalem. After he had a purple robe put on him and tore off of him in Jerusalem. He had his beard pulled out by hand in Jerusalem. He was given a heavy wooden cross to carry from Jerusalem through the Via Dolorosa on the way to Golgotha, and he was expected to carry it, but we know he couldn't. He was put on that cross. He was stretched out as far as he could go. He had nails in his hands and his feet. And there he said, "It is finished." All sin of all men, for all time, was forgiven. Jesus says, "I am ready to forgive even the worst of sinners, even those people who have done that to me. I am ready to forgive them, to bring them into my family." That, my friends, is the message of a missionary. Are you willing to give that message out? But more importantly, are you willing to pray for those who are giving that message out? Go to Romans chapter 15. Let's look at some of these requests together this morning. Romans chapter number 15, starting in verse number 30. Romans 15, starting in verse number 30. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That word strive literally means that you agonize with, that you join together with me by praying for me. Let me share with you, do you know why missionaries send out prayer letters? You know why you have a board out here that have prayer letters on it? Because they need something to do in their spare time. No, missionaries don't have any spare time, okay? You know why they send out prayer letters? So that you can read and rejoice with them. You can praise God with them of the things that he is doing on the other side. And you can pray for them, the requests that they offer and they have in the prayer letter. Paul is saying, look, my friends, I beg you that you join on my team and you pray for me. That you agonize with me when I need agonized with. That you join my team. You join me in praying. Now look at verse 31. How can we do this? Let's get into this. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. First prayer request for missionaries. And when, by the way, I'm using the word missionaries, but I mean anybody who is in the ministry. Pastor Long, Pastor Henderson, your other missionaries, okay? Anybody who is doing the work is what I'm asking here. To pray that your missionaries will have acceptable ministry. What I mean by acceptable ministry is that those that they are teaching the Word of God to will be willing to receive it and accept it. You know, there's many service, there's many places around the world that missionaries are not accepted. They have to hide their churches underneath, called underground churches, and preach the gospel. Pray that your missionaries, your pastor, will have acceptable ministry. That what he says to you and what missionaries say to their people will be accepted and received. Please look at verse 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. So number two prayer request for missionaries is that they will have spiritual refreshment and encouragement. I remember being in Ghana, and our pastor, Pastor Greg Shipe at First Baptist in Bellefonte, just came about a year before that. And I went to the post office and opened up the post office for the team and pulled out stuff, and there was a package slip in the post office. And anything that does not fit into the post office, I had to go around into the post office and to the counter. So I was like, what is this thing? I don't even know. My wife did not get CBD. My wife did not get Amazon. I don't even know what this thing is. So I go around inside the window, and I see my friend there, and sign my name onto the package slip, and she brings this package. I'm like, I still have no idea. I called Jane and I said, we got a package. She said, from who? I said, from First Baptist. I don't know what it is. So we take it home. I take it home and we tear into the package. And inside the package is a set of tapes of all the messages that Pastor Shipe spoke on the book of Philippians. Because he knew that missionaries need refreshment and spiritual encouragement. So my wife would listen to those, and we would refresh ourselves that we would be ready to do the work again. Pastor Long is going to camp with the youth. He is going to need time for spiritual refreshment, and he's going to get that this week. Pray for him, that he would receive it, and that he would be refreshed as he goes, that he can come back and be ready to minister to you again next week. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. So acceptable service, acceptable ministry, spiritual refreshment. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse number 19. And you say, Matt, I don't have any idea why you're going here. This is all about the armor of God. And I'm going to say, yes, it is. But there's something added. We know that Paul says we put on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and most importantly, the what? Sorry? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Those are all good. But look at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the armor is good, but you need prayer to use it effectively. And Paul says we need to pray always. Look at verse 19. And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Prayer request number 3 for missionaries. Pray that they would have the courage and boldness to speak the word of God as they should. Sometimes in Ghana, I would get up to the congregation on Sunday morning. I spoke twice on Sunday. Two different churches, two different message topics on every Sunday. I would get up in front and I would say, the message I have for you is not an easy one. But it's something I feel that you need to know. Pray that your missionaries would have the courage and boldness to speak the word of God as they should. That they would not be afraid. That they would express themselves in a suitable and becoming way. That they would deliver the whole counsel of God without any fear, shame, or partiality. Amen. That they would speak openly, plainly, without fear. Your missionaries need prayers, folks. They need prayer. Look with me, if you would, over at Philippians chapter 1, just one page over. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 19 and 20. For I know, Paul says, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your what? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit, according, verse 20, to my earnest expectation and my hope that in, what's the next word? Sorry? In nothing I shall be ashamed. but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Two prayer requests here. Pray that your missionaries will not be ashamed in anything. Paul says that I shall do nothing of which I shall have occasion to be ashamed, in nothing to have reason to be ashamed of my work for God or God's work in me. Paul says later on, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why should we be ashamed? Why should we be ashamed? Why should pastor be ashamed to get up and open the word of God and preach it to you? He shouldn't. Your missionary should be the same way. Pray that your missionaries would not be ashamed. Verse 20 again. Pray also that your missionaries will magnify Christ in their body. That word magnify in Greek literally means to lift up, to make great, to exalt. Who should you be showing in your life? Who should you be showing in your life? Yourself? Look at me. Look how great I am. Look at me today. I got the big Bible. I got the nice suit on. I'm singing the song. Should you show yourself? Who should you show in your life? You should show God. You should make sure God is exalted and God is made great in your life. And that when people look at you, they see God. Pray that your missionaries will do the same thing. I'm not going to touch on this one. Time is running away, but you can write it down if you wish. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Pray that your missionaries will have intimacy with God. Amen. That they will spend time in God's word on a regular basis. Daily. Let me just share with you, as I was in Ghana, I would ask pastors that I have been training and leadership training and discipling, I would ask them, when do you spend time with God? When do you have time with God and you open up the Word of God and you spend time with Him and pray to Him? I had one pastor say to me, at night when I go to bed, I open up God's Word and I try to read it, but I fall asleep. And I said to him, don't you think you should get up just a little bit early in the morning before you do anything and spend time with God? Don't do it when you're falling asleep. Don't do it when you're tired and you read and you fall asleep in your Bible. God wants to have relationship with you. You start having relationship with Him. Intimacy with God. Go with me to chapter 4, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Philippians 4, starting in verse number 4. Just follow if you would. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And what's the next word, folks? Peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pray that your missionaries will have peace. Do you know what the text says that we have to do before we have peace? Oh, yeah, I got to go home and I got to work on my bank account and I'm worried about that I'm overdrawn. No. I remember being in college, Pensacola, my first year. And in speech class, we had to each give a devotional, some little thought. This is my text for that devotional. And I said, here was my whole thing. It boiled down to this thought. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And that will give you peace. Because you take your burdens off yourself, you put them in God's hands, and God in turn will give you peace. Don't you think you should pray for your missionaries to have the same thing? Oh, people are not listening to me. People are not responding the way I wanted them to respond. They're not opening the Word of God as they should, and they're not doing this, and I'm so worried that my ministry is failing. No. You pray that those who are serving God will have peace. They don't worry, but they pray, they give it to God, and God in turn gives them peace. What's it better to live, worrying or have peace? Better to have peace, to stop worrying. Look at one more passage with me. And I did. I don't always get through it, but I did get through all the prayer requests I have here today. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse number 12. Let me get there myself. Colossians 3. Starting in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Pray that your missionaries will be unified in these things. They will be unified in bowels of mercy, simply pity, sympathy. That they will be unified in kindness, excellence of character and conduct. That they will be unified in humbleness of mind. That they will have humility and modesty. In meekness, that they will have gentleness. In long suffering, that they will have patience. They will suffer long. Forbearing one another. Now this is interesting. That they will put up with each other. Literally. That's what it means, that they will put up with each other, that they will endure with each other. They will forgive one another. They will grant pardon and rescue as favor to others. Most importantly, that they will have charity, which we call love. Pray that your missionaries will have acceptable ministry. That they will have spiritual refreshment. They will have courage and boldness. They will not be ashamed in anything. that they will magnify Christ in their body, that they will have intimacy with God. And one I didn't touch on, I must have passed it, that they will have cultural sensitivity. Paul talks about going to the market. And in the market, you'll buy meat, and some of that meat will be given to idols, will be offered to idols. Don't ask questions, Paul says, just take it for the sake of those around you. If you go to dinner, he said, if you're invited to dinner and there's meat laid before you and somebody says to you that that meat was offered to idols, don't eat it as a testimony to others. They will have cultural sensitivity. They will have peace. They will have unity. Let me ask you two questions. Number one, do you pray for your missionaries? Do you pray for pastor? And number two, if not, are you willing to pray for those who serve you, your missionaries, your pastors? Paul was one of the greatest missionaries who ever lived. He had problems, and he said, you pray, you join my team. You agonize with me. You pray when I need prayer, you praise when I need praise, and you agonize with me. Are you willing to do that for pastor, for your missionaries? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this time that you have given to us this morning. Thank you that you have given in your word prayer requests, specific prayer requests that we can learn how to be a prayer player. Not only for missionaries that we support, but also for pastors that we know. Pastor Long, Pastor Henderson, Lord, for our youth pastor. Lord, help us to be prayer players in this game of life, in this game of missions. Father, we need prayer to move. We need prayer from others so that we can be effective. Thank you for this church who has over the years prayed, supported, and has been part of our team. In your name, amen. Pastor?
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
I do want to say, Matt, thank you so much, brother, for bringing the Word of God to us today. It was a wonderful blessing. I do thank the Lord.